Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, the 34th verse. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. 1971, there was a mass murderer on trial in Los Angeles. During his trial, he had been rather arrogant and made some statements against the judge and against the court, kind of outlandish outbursts in the middle of his trial. But suddenly now he had been convicted, and here he was before the judge for his sentencing. And this seemingly very arrogant and proud man stood to hear his sentence, and his lawyer reports that as he looked down, he saw his client's hands shaking. It's very threatening to be confronted by the presence of someone who has power over you, who has the authority and power to put you away, to maybe take money away from you, possibly to harm you. You think about children going to the principal's office, probably sitting nervously in that chair waiting for that confrontation. We think of some people being stopped by police officers. I've had friends who are cops that have told me that sometimes people will just break into tears as they come up to their window. Or someone who is under investigation by the IRS. Or think about the fear that you probably had when we saw the reports of 9/11. When we can think of someone that has and holds a potential power to hurt us or imprison us or harm us or take money away from us, this can be a very intimidating thing. Jesus, however, warns us in the Gospels. He says, "Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot destroy the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." In other words, what he's saying to us is, if all of these kinds of situations in life can intimidate us and make us feel threatened and so on and cause great fear in us, just think what it must be like in front of the one who can crush us eternally. God himself is who he's talking about, the one who has the authority and the power and the knowledge to send all of us to our eternal fate that we would deserve. In the Bible, whenever we see a little glimpse of how man is in front of God in a veiled way, there's always great intimidation. We think of Moses at the burning bush, having to hide his face from that. We think of Adam and Eve in the garden, running and hiding in the bushes when they hear the voice of God. Isaiah, at his calling, we're told that he is just struck with great guilt about his sin. The disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, they just drop down to the ground. They're absolutely terrified to have to be in the presence of this holy God. Saul, when he is on the road to Damascus to imprison Christians and is suddenly confronted by the voice of Christ, just drops to the ground trembling. In fact, even the presence of an angel, just a messenger from God, we often hear about in Scripture, and they were terrified. The shepherds were sore afraid. Mary was terrified, and so on. Even just someone who comes to represent God can put that kind of, and strike that kind of fear into people's hearts. During their training, soldiers will sometimes admit that they joke about and laugh about a little bit someday being in war, and they can sometimes make light of it, maybe as a way of dealing with it. But when the time actually comes to be in battle, it's a whole different ballgame. Maybe that's how we tend to be a little bit about Judgment Day. We like to make jokes about it, and we've got all these great jokes about so-and-so standing in front of St. Peter and in front of God and blah, 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 and this and that. Maybe that's our way of just kind of minimizing it for ourselves and making that day seem a little more tolerable, but when you really stop to think, When you really stop to think about you, me, standing in front of God, and Him being able to just look right down inside of our hearts, our consciences, and knowing every last detail of our life, every word that we've forgotten, that's intimidation. Why is that such a threatening prospective thought to think about? Well, it just comes down to our sin. That's why it's intimidating. And this is why every one of us in here today needs a buffer between us and this holy God. Our own conscience is the reason why we know this could be an intimidating event. Now let's look at our text. Notice how Paul links all of these wonderful events in the life of Christ, the most important, significant events, how he links them back to you and to me in our spiritual lives as far as how we come and approach God. He says, it is Christ who died, the crucifixion, and furthermore is also risen, his resurrection, who is even at the right hand of God, his ascension that we celebrate this week, who also makes intercession for us. There is now a special status for those who claim Christ by faith and hold on to him as their Savior, that he now makes intercession for us in front of God. He's the only one who is, by his own life, completely beloved by the Father because of how perfectly he has lived his life. And he now stands in front of that very one that intimidates and threatens us and makes intercession for us. You see, in Christ, God is not only approachable, but Christ himself is your approacher to God. And this was a very expensive arrangement. It wasn't some cheap bargain that got worked out. It cost the very lifeblood of the Son of God himself to win this special position of being your personal advocate and intercessor before the Father. And so here's what Jesus does and what our text is reminding us about. Jesus comes to you and me trembling about the thought of Judgment Day and trembling about the thought of having to actually face God, and he takes us by the hand by faith. And he gently walks us up to the throne of God in heaven, and he now reaches out and grabs his Father's hand, and he links the two of us together, and he says, because I am here, there is now peace, and I am here now to speak on your behalf. Despite how terrified we might be about the situation, he says to us, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, my own conscience still tries to convince me that I don't deserve to be standing in that kind of a position. The devil tries to convince me, who do you think you are? You, that you could actually think that God is going to listen to you. It's one of the great paradoxes of the Christian faith is this. The people who realize that they have no right on their own to approach the king are the only ones invited by the king to approach him. Listen to what Martin Luther said. He says, if I'm a sinner, so what? God is merciful. If I am unfit for prayer because of my sins, well and good. I do not want to become more fit. For alas, to God, I am more than fit for prayer because I am an exceedingly great sinner. In other words, if Satan tries to convince you that you have to wait to pray to God until you are worthy of praying to God, you're never going to pray. Because by yourself, like me, we're never worthy of that. But in Christ, because of Christ, through Christ, you are completely worthy. One of the church fathers said it this way, God wants you to pray and be heard because of his mercy, not because of your worthiness. Now think what this means for us, that this God in the heavens who controls all things, who decided how everything should be laid out in this world and in the stars and universe, the one who knows how many hairs are on your head right now, the one who knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow, that this all-powerful, all-knowing God, all-holy God invites you to come and talk to him through Christ. your great intercessor. Isn't it kind of ironic that God has to encourage us to do this and that he has to even command us to do this? Why in the world would we ever want to neglect making use of our Lord's intercession? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who still bears the scars of paying for your sins and mine, the price that it took to earn heaven for you, our Lord Jesus Christ himself is waiting patiently at the Father's side to speak on your behalf. Just bring him your petitions. And you don't have to be quivering when you do it. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen.